Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast, co-starring 10-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Will Blackman.
Tim Dwight watches it hit, bounces, picks it up at the 10, slips the defender, fumbles the football, hits up for grabs, it's covered in the end zone by Will Blackman for a Green Bay touchdown!
And now, here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to another episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1 when we're doing TV. You can read me on Bleacher Report. You can hear me on radio.com and intercom terrestrial stations. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rick Bucher and on Instagram at Rick_Bucher. He is Will Blackman, Super Bowl champ. You can find him at the Wine MVP. He is the MVP wine guy, but you can find him at the Wine MVP and at, of course, at Will Blackman. All of his other places that you might find him are on hiatus along with the NBA because...
Terrible.
That's what's happening in the business right now.
It is.
Yes.
Actually, correct. And so I am known as the NFL wine guy, but yes, okay. The Wine MVP is correct.
Okay, good. Yeah. So we're actually, this is the second try that we're making at recording this because Will was upset that I had forgotten exactly what his handle was.
You don't need to know that. It doesn't matter.
I like to pull back the curtain.
The whole point of rehearsal.
Yeah.
Is that once you pull back the curtain, you're good to go.
Well, if I thought that we were going to do this perfectly, then I'd be okay in saying they don't need to know that we had a dress rehearsal. But... since the chances of that happening are not very great, I'm going to go ahead and let them see the raw material. I want to let them know how the sausage is made, and my wine guy is drinking wine. So who knows where this show will go?
Actually, this is unfermented grape juice.
Is that right?
This is Welch's.
And why would you be doing that?
Because I just want some juice.
Okay, out of a wine glass, though?
It was the closest thing to me.
Okay. All right. How are you doing, though, with the Rona and with the quarantine? And what's it like in your end of the country or your end of the state, rather?
Yeah, well, right now we're okay, our household. I will say, one, fortunate just due to the fact that I guess where we live, we have open space.
Yeah.
You know, I think about my family members back east, especially, you know, my cousin, he lives in New York, and he actually is in stable condition due to contracting the coronavirus himself. Yeah. So I just know New York got hit pretty hard, and my cousin up there, he's one of them. But yeah, we're being super smart and diligent, not going anywhere unless we really have to, you know, probably going to the grocery store like once a week if need be.
Okay.
It's funny because my wife, it's funny because now it's unfortunate, obviously, what's going on. So everyone's more cautious, but my wife is like that before the coronavirus.
Really?
She literally mops the house every day.
Really?
Oh yeah, she cleans everything every day. It's especially once we had kids, she made sure anyone that comes in the house, you wash hands before you do anything. I mean, my hands are just torn up, dry. Today when she went grocery shopping, we went out there and we literally took Clorox wipes and cleaned every single item before we brought it in the house.
Wow. Okay. Well, you guys are safe. So in the last podcast, I talked about how I was at the Nets Lakers game and ran into KD outside the locker room and talked to one of the Lakers, and actually they had all this protocol in place, but then Jacques Vaughn, the Nets coach, came out, and he and I know each other well, and I thought we were going to do like an elbow bump, or we're going to do, you know, the socially appropriate whatever. And he just shakes my hand, and I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. And it was at a time where the concern wasn't where it is now. It was just the beginning of this. I mean, I'd just been in a building full of people watching a game, and nothing felt that different outside of the media protocol. But
it's weird because you don't want to, it's like, don't be offended because I'm just being cautious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is I was at the park a week ago, and I had a kid I was training, and I saw one of the parents, and it was kind of like, don't be offended if I don't want to shake.
Right.
For well, obvious.
Now, when would this, you were out?
This was last week, last Tuesday.
So are you still training people, or are you full?
No, I shut that down.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So my wife, right before they had the sheltering in place in California, had a colleague of hers over at the house who has since tested positive. And so I was suddenly, and this is what I talked about in the last podcast, like between, you know, seeing KD and being at that game and knowing all the Nets and the Lakers tested positive, and then a friend of mine, my wife, coming by the house and her testing positive, and then my daughter coming down with like a severe headache and a sore throat, you immediately realize like we've been doing all these things. I mean, outside, since the sheltering in place, or certainly over the last 10 days, I don't know that I have been within 6 feet of anybody outside of my immediate family. So we've been pretty good about it. We've shut down everything. The kids are taking school online from home. My wife hasn't, I think she's gone into her office when the building was empty. But for the most part, we've taken precautions. And yet, that still doesn't safeguard you.
It doesn't safeguard you.
You know? And so I wonder for you, though, like being set up, like how challenging is it to be quarantined? How challenging is it to create this bubble that you're living in with your family?
Well, I guess the one thing that is beneficial is the fact that I grew up on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So a lot of winter storms, a lot of hurricanes, where there was a lot of school cancellations, and I was a homebody. So I love being at home. I could sit in my room all day and be extremely creative. Even when my father would ground me, I was like, perfect. I'm good.
Not a punishment. Didn't let him know it wasn't a punishment, but you were good with it.
I was good with it, yeah. And same way, our kids, they're homebodies. We just, that's what we do anyway. We hang out as a family. We hang out at home. Yeah. We get creative. We have fun. I ended up taking my neighbor's hoop, because we don't have one, and he never uses it. He has a really nice basketball hoop, and I just took it. He said, yeah. So we brought it over here. I backed the cars up, so they pretty much blocked the driveway, so you can't really see us. And we just go out in the yard, play. We didn't heat up the pool because the weather's been weird around here. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of our lifestyle, it doesn't really change much.
Yeah.
But in terms of for me, career-wise, it definitely, like you said, I'm on a hiatus. It stalled a lot of things. This month I had an audition with Fox to call live football games.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be this month.
Wow.
And I was excited for that, because that's, if there's anything in the industry that I want to do, it's that. I want to call games.
Right.
That's like, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
And also meetings with other networks. So to get that part off the ground is definitely took a huge hit. But in terms of the wine business, it's pretty much all online.
Huh.
So I can do everything from here in terms of being into the POS system. I just sent, you know, a buddy, a colleague of mine back east. He asked me if I could fill up his wine cellar. So I ended up, you know, taking his order and doing it from here. And it should be there sometime next week. I got another colleague here in LA, and same thing. So I'm able to do all this here. And then also too, with the Wine MVP, our subscription, we're going to be able to start taking pre-sales next month. So once again, it's all online. So that's the one benefit. But in terms of me going around taking meetings and doing this and that, that's really been a hindrance.
Huh.
And all that.
So how many people do what you do as far as wine is concerned? Because it seems like you've grown this thing really quickly.
I have no idea.
Oh, huh. Okay.
In terms of what I'm doing.
Yes.
Because what I'm doing is, yes, a lot of people have the wine subscription club, you know, but also I'm doing a personal concierge side to it. So, right, these private clients, they call me personally, like, hey, do you have, you know, Lafite, you know, Rothschild, which is a really hard to get wine from France, or, you know, do you have, maybe somebody wants a Screaming Eagle. I happen to, you know the Kroenke family all of a sudden now. If they want something in particular, or like I said, my buddy was like, hey, you know, I have a 300 bottle cellar.
Right.
Fill it up.
Right.
Cool. I'll do that. Then, you know, or, you know, once the people who are in my system, I can call and be like, hey, we got this, a good deal for this. Do you want it? And he'll be like, yes or no. If they do, I just, boom, I log it in, pay it, and send it to them.
So I'm on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to Fox and FS1. I was able to host Speak for Yourself.
Yeah, that's cool.
The first week in March. And I'm now that we have this hiatus, I'm like, okay, you guys remember I was pretty good, right? Like, am I going to get to do that again? It's almost like I had a chance to show them what I could do. And now, like, the show just came back. I'm going to do some phoners, and I have a camera in the house, so I'll get to guest some on the show. But it's obviously now I'm in a place where I had a chance to audition basically for a different deal. And now I'm just hoping that what I did was not forgotten by the time that we get back to right. to actually doing more. So I wanted to ask you, because this has come up with the NBA and the players being out. And first of all, do you have a home gym?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you work out at home?
Yes, I do. I decided to put a home gym, or create a home gym, probably like 2012.
Okay. Why?
And the reasoning is I felt like I was training for hours away from my house.
Okay.
And I felt like I have acquired enough education and information on how to train myself. So from 2013 to 2018, I trained myself every off season.
And that was by yourself, not with a trainer at your house.
No, not with a trainer. This is by myself. And the reason is because I want to be home. It's like, okay, let me go in a garage for 2 hours, maybe go run down the street somewhere for like 35 minutes, and I'm home. Before training, I'd be gone for like 5 hours.
And how many guys, how many NFL players do you think have gyms at home or do what you did?
I don't think many do.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that guys pretty much rent. I think a lot of guys rent homes in areas where they want to train, where they want to, especially as a late, they want to go to facilities where everybody else is at. Now, once you get into the upper echelon, like you look at LeBron James or you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, or people like that, they have home gyms and they fly in trainers. I knew a buddy of mine personally, Ryan Flaherty, who's the senior director of Nike Performance. He actually, you know, flown everywhere to these personal home gyms. So I understand. I get it. I get that part. But for the most part, a lot of guys go to different places. Like I know last year, Odell, he rented a home in Big Bear to go train and flew out a couple guys to train, you know.
Yeah, that's – see, that's the part for – I think people don't realize that other than the upper echelon guys, a lot of guys are sometimes in a transient position. They're either – they're renting in a, you know, a condo or an apartment or a house where they're playing, or they have a house someplace else, but they haven't necessarily tricked it out because they don't they haven't put down those kind of roots yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and once again for me, because I have a family and I wanted to be home.
Right.
So
But my point was when this happened, because I wrote about it and I was surprised by the number of fans who were like, oh, these guys all have home gyms. Like, how are they going to get out of shape? They you know, they all got a court, they got a home gym, they got all that. And I'm like, no, not as many as you think. And because largely, especially when the NBA, you've got 24-hour access to your facilities, wherever you are. And if you're, you know, in your off-season spot, chances are you've got 24-hour access to somebody else's gym.
Right.
So you don't need to have it at home, or you don't have to have like what you would need to stay in shape. And I think that's the other part is like people are thinking, oh, staying in shape. You got like an elliptical, you got a spin bike, you got a treadmill, and you got a couple of weights, maybe you got a squat rack, like that's staying in shape. And I would think that
for it's not top performance training.
Exactly.
That's what you're getting at.
And exactly.
If you have the knowledge where you can do that and the discipline, that's one thing. But 99% of guys don't. I was able to acquire this one machine that I used to perform. It's called an Isokinetic. My trainer, Gavin McMillan at Sports Science Lab, his machine is what I use. And I was able to understand, okay, I can do these certain exercises. My garage, I only have like literally three. I have a squat rack with the pull-up bar. I have the Isokinetic machine. I have a glute ham, a bike, elliptical, and there's another device called a K-Box, eccentric. So these are like, you know, ninja alien type devices that I can get the most out of because I acquire the information and I'm able to do it myself. But yeah, for the most guys who have dumbbells and Pelotons and all that stuff, like it's not going to happen.
Right.
There's only a handful of performance facilities in the whole country that guys go to. You have, you know, the Exos that's everywhere. You have Velocity. I don't know if it still exists. Guys go to D1. A couple of guys go to Florida. So there's like Florida, Cali, Texas, Atlanta. That's kind of where everybody is. And guys like to work out with other guys around this time of year. And so the fact that they can't, that's the problem.
Yeah. How much do you think being able to work out with other elite athletes and to work in these places that have the elite equipment, what kind of separation does that create? Like, what kind of edge does that give you, or what difference maker does it make when it comes to being a pro and being an elite athlete?
Well, when you're at these facilities, you push each other to the max. So your effort is going to be at the most. Otherwise, or you're going to get embarrassed, or you're wasting everybody's time.
Right.
So that's why it's interesting, because everybody in sports, for the most part, like in the NFL, we're all cool with each other. There's very few guys that truly don't like each other. Everyone is cool for the most part, because in the off season, everyone trains with each other. Everyone hangs out with each other from other teams or the same team. Guys are always training, and that's the deal for me.
So do you think it's the edge that you get from that, from from working out with other guys? Do you, and I don't know if you can put a percentage on it, or, but did you do you feel like once you got into the circle of working out with other top pro athletes in pro facilities, like it took you to another level as an athlete and your athletic performance?
Well, yeah, because you're around like-minded people. You know what I'm saying? It's when you were hosting, you know, Speak for Yourself, like you were around, you know, some high level people, and that's, and you're like, okay, it's go time. This, right. You're around other intellects that understand and can talk sports. Same thing. You're around high professional athlete. Like, yeah, you go to the gym, you know, say 24 Hour Fitness, you're lifting there, not a sponsor. And you're just working out there, and you're working out, you get in shape, and you kind of like, yeah, you stick out like a sore thumb because they can tell just how you're built. You're a pro athlete. But then once you go to one of these performance facilities, like I trained that Proactive a while ago, that's out here, and same thing, Sports Science Lab. When I was there, I mean, you had the UFC champions there, like George St. Pierre was in there, Anderson Silva was in there, and then you got Troy Polamalu, and then obviously I was in there, and you had so many high and then we had like a dungeon. There was no windows. It was, you know, maybe, you know, 200-300 square feet that place was, and guys just got after it.
Yeah.
And you came in there and you were humbled. And yeah, it was that kind of like a cult, like a secret club, like a fight club. It was like that.
You know, it's funny. My daughter plays high school basketball for a really high level program. They went to the state semis this year. This was a down year. They only went to the state semis. They've gone to the state finals the previous 2 years. And they do a thing called Sparta, which is one of these high performance training things. The entire team goes.
Okay. Yeah.
As preseason, and they work on specifically with women. Women basketball players have a tendency to blow their ACLs, and so they do a body scan and they do like they test. They do put you through this whole battery of tests in order to figure out what your physical weaknesses are and how to just expand your athleticism. And I got to tell you, man. Like, she went through that program. She was a different player when she came out of it. And I think about it. Like, she's 16, and she's having that experience. Dude, when I was going in high school in 16, if you were weight training, you were ahead of the game. Like, who was weight – as a soccer player? Like,
no,
who was
I wasn't
training,
weight training.
Right?
I wasn't weight – I didn't weight train at all in high school when I played.
Yeah.
I trained one time because this is back when the Nike camp was truly invite only. It wasn't like now how they got Nike camps all over the place. You can just show up and compete. This one was – you got an envelope, and it was invite only. And I remember I got that letter, and I was like, oh, there's a bench press? There's a bench press test? And a 40? Okay, well, I need to train. And my father found me I think it's called Nest, Northeast Sports Training in Warwick, Rhode Island. And I went and trained there. And same thing. Everyone was a D1 athlete that was there or went to college somewhere. Like, yeah. Rocco Baldelli, you know, the manager for the Twins, we went to school together. He was about to be a first round, 6 overall he went. And it was, once again, it was one of those places.
Yeah.
But you went in there and it's like, hey, this is not.
Yeah, this is business.
Not recess.
Like, we're not hanging out, having a – sipping a latte while we
this is now a recess. So yeah. I did that too, and yeah, I learned a lot about myself and came out a better person and went out there and lit up the Nike camp.
Nice. So here's the other part that I don't know that people get, which is, and you talked about it, the competitive element. Like, if you're, and this is the challenge that NBA players have right now. People think that if you're making money, if you're a millionaire, well, it's your job to train, and you're going to train, and you should be in shape and all that. But there's more to it than that. It's like,
it's hard. You can't explain it if you never even competed in college at a high level.
Yeah.
That's a thing in its own.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, even in high school, you got all-star game, you have camps, you have club. You have all these things. Like, some people don't even play high school sports because they just rather play club because it's more competitive.
Right.
But people don't get that.
Well, and they also don't get when there's an absence of that. Like,
right.
I'm going to train and I'm going to try to stay fit, but I don't know when I'm going to play. It could be a month from now.
It's different. Two years ago.
Yeah.
I can go run, and I ended up buying a this device. I think it's called. Anyhow, it's an electric timer.
Okay.
So I'm able to get feedback when I'm, as opposed to just running and assuming I ran 23 seconds in my 200. Well, I actually have a watch and an electric timer that's like, all right, I need to hurry up. So I was able to do that myself, but then it became so monotonous where I was like, damn, dude, like I just don't feel like going today. And then I got a text from Terrell Owens. It's like, hey, we're about to run these hills at the sand dune. I'm there.
Right.
Just because it was me, Julio Jones, Deshaun Golston, just a bunch of NTO and a couple of other friends. Let's go. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my entire life. I do regret going.
I feel as if you're a little bit different in that very much a self-starter, maybe more disciplined as an athlete than the average NFL player.
Well, I got like that because the war of attrition, basically, man. Like ever since I got injured, every offseason was me rehabbing and training to get myself back to peak condition. Every year I had a fight for my job. Every year I had a fight for my spot. So it got different where I had to do what was working as opposed to me just going in training and everything else good. Because had I not gotten hurt, it will have not been like that.
See, that's the other part too is if you want to say, hey, these guys have, particularly in the NBA, the money is guaranteed.
But the work ethic is not guaranteed.
No, the work ethic is not guaranteed, and you could get caught out, and you could get exposed, or you could get injured.
But if a guy is gifted and talented, and he's worth the compensation, then okay, there's different things about it.
Right. Well, but there's also, in a situation like this, where you don't know when you're going to start, but your 100 mil is taken care of no matter what happens. The fear or the hunger or the necessity to say, I have to go work out today, not knowing when the start is going to be, it's just not there.
That's the hardest thing. Yeah. And even something as simple as, okay, say I'm not signed to a team.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, actually, this happened last year. So I'm just training. And I'm training, because I'm just training right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, excuse me, all of a sudden, you know, let's say it's August, you know, no, it's September, and the Raiders are like, hey, October 25th, you got to work out.
Right.
Oh, that's different.
Right.
That we're ante up now.
Right.
We have a due date.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We're ready to go. But if you're just working, you're just training to train because I got to stay, but you don't know when it's going to happen. I just got to stay ready in case, okay, we start tomorrow. Or I got to be ready in case the Browns call me like, hey, can you come tomorrow? Well, good. I'm ready. But it once again, it becomes monotonous. It is tiring. It is drawn out because you just don't know. But let me get a due date to work out for a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's different, man.
Whole different thing. Yep. Yep. No, understood. So I do want to ask you, because you and I haven't had a chance to talk in a while, Brady goes to Tampa Bay. We got the separation now of Belichick and Brady. Right. Everybody seems to feel like Brady's has greased the skids. He's joining a team that's ready made for him to show what he can do, more so than he could in New England last year. Big picture. Who do you think is going to, prove themselves? I don't know how you want to define it, but who's going to miss the other more? Belichick missing Brady or Brady missing Belichick?
I think Brady will miss Belichick more.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because for the simple fact that Coach Belichick paid his dues and every level. And created him and became a legend just based on what he did for the, you know, the Giants defense, and then going, turning the Browns around, and then coming to the Patriots and getting them back to, you know, to where they are and beyond. Like, he's the, he already did everything.
Yeah. This is why I think people are underselling Belichick being without Brady now and having the team that New England had, which just wasn't very talented last year. Let's face it. You lose Gronk. Now you lose Brady.
But and they still won the division and went 12-4. That's the thing about it. Yes, they were not as talented, but they still gave themselves a chance.
Well, and that and the part that makes me think people are underselling what Belichick is going to be able to do is the fact that his work ethic does not seem to have waned at all. I mean, there was just the tape the other day of him going out and scouting guys, no names, and running them through the drills himself. And I'm thinking, he found Brady. He developed Brady. He's found and developed all these guys over all these years. That's a talent.
Right. He likes that tedious work.
He likes the challenge of finding the guys that nobody else thinks can play or don't recognize what they can do.
Right.
This putting the them same, in positions to succeed.
This is the same guy who's been criticized for not playing football and not understanding, to then turn around to get praised by Lawrence Taylor. Like, okay, I respect this guy. He said, Lawrence Taylor said, because there wasn't one game we went into and we were not prepared. I respect this guy. And he was even ticked off when he left. He was like, Bill should have been our coach.
That was when he was the defensive coordinator there.
When he was the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, for the Giants.
And got the respect of him because of his worth ethic.
Interesting.
Yes. Like that's what I mean is, yeah, of course he's gonna miss him because they did some legendary stuff together, some Hall of Fame stuff. But like, life goes on.
The other thing that I think people may be overestimating, if they're underestimating Belichick, they're overestimating how much Brady has fallen off. I think they look at Brady and what happened last year and they say, well, the talent wasn't around him.
It wasn't.
Well, that's true. But I also don't think Brady is the same.
Of course he's not.
And
what,
so
43?
43. So you put him in a brand new system. Like, there's going to be a learning curve. No, for as good as he is, for as dedicated as he is.
It's not going to be – it's different, man. It's, once again, it's still football.
All right. That does it for this episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want us to do something for you, send a screenshot of that review or rating to @BucherFriends, and you will be eligible. I'm giving away my commemorative Kobe Bryant Gianna t-shirt that I was given at the memorial. You only received one if you went to the memorial. I would rather have somebody who is, I don't know what I'd do with it, other than kind of keep it as a keepsake, but I think there's probably people out there that would wear it and wear it proudly, so I want to pass that along. So we will be giving that away as soon as we hit. I think we have to hit the 200 mark on our number of reviews. So look for that soon. Next podcast, I will be joined by either Ryan Hollins or a special guest that I am trying to line up at the moment. I'm not going to reveal a name until I know that I've got them locked down. So in the meantime, Will, it was good to reconvene.
Yeah, I got to clean up the rest of the kitchen.
Yeah, you get back to that. I got board games to play with the kids. We got our hoop work in earlier in the backyard. We're in a good spot, too, for quarantining. So in the meantime, the rest of you, stay safe, and thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.